Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Pursuit Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Antonair, and we are officially into turkey season. This week, we are joined by our good friend and self-proclaimed turkey fanatic, Mr. Paul Campbell. This is Paul's second time on the show, joining us once back in episode 40 to discuss his podcast, The Ohio Outdoors. And that conversation was mainly focused on deer hunting, but make no mistake, spring is definitely Paul's favorite time to hunt. First, we discuss his career with the NWTF and how the organization helps with conservation work across the country. Then we get into his recent hunting trip down to Florida and the chance to hunt with Mike Pentecost from Woodhaven Custom Calls. Finally, we discussed our calls, our shotguns, and shared our excitement for this turkey season. Please welcome Paul Campbell.
If you've ever walked through a stinging nettle patch turkey hunting, like, I'm going to classify that as a poisonous plant. You feel free to make tea or whatever the hell it is that you use this for. That's a hard pass for me. It's like the rattlesnake of the plant world is what it is.
The rattlesnake of the plant. I've never really messed with
it. I hope you're recording because this is good. This is good stuff already. This show started already.
I haven't messed with one before.
A stinging nettle?
Yeah.
Oh, God. They're the worst. They're the ones like you, like early season, like turkey hunting, you see like green plants. You're like, I have to walk through that. And then about three steps into it, you're like, oh God, what have I done? And like, you're like the stinging part of the name of that plant.
Completely. See, I wonder if it's because I'm never outside without some type of calf high rubber boot.
I've walked through them before where they're like dang near like thigh high.
Really?
Oh yeah. And you're just itching and you're miserable. It's awful. I hate them. I don't know how like people would eat it. Like there's no way that
they'd
be like, oh, I'm gonna pick this plant and I'm gonna eat it. I mean, I know they like boil it down or something, but
invasive.
No, I think they're native. I don't quote me on that. But yeah. I mean, I feel like they're native. If they're not at this point, like
that's the next one I want to work on. I want to work on an invasive species episode.
There you go.
We could go on for that one for a long time.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, there's plenty of those. Well, yeah, I hate those plants.
Well, we're started.
We're ready, man. We're rolling.
Stinging nettles aside, this is what this one's about, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that sound. Oh, Ben loves it. Ben loves it.
Beautiful yelp of a hen turkey.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Well, if you haven't gotten it already, we got the turkey master himself.
Ooh, that's a steep title.
Okay, the second turkey master, because we did have Waddell on.
Oh yeah, no, that guy's a legend. Yeah.
Second fiddle to Waddell, but number one in our hearts.
There you go. Thank you.
Paul Campbell.
Guys, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming, man. Yeah. So Paul, if you guys haven't, I should have did my homework. I don't recall what episode that was, but go back. We talked to the guys from O2, the O2 podcast, which once you're done with ours, you go to that one, and then you're gonna go to another one that we'll talk about today.
Yeah.
But Paul's the one half of the O2 podcast, along with Mr. Andrew Munz. So we did have him on. We talked some good stuff, man. Good stuff. Andrew,
it was a good episode. Yeah, I think it was just. I think deer season had just started.
Yeah.
So it was maybe.
And we talked about Munz's
early October.
Or all the deer that he missed.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll have.
Shout out Munz. Now, actually, funny enough, so TikTok is a funny animal.
Yes.
And occasionally we'll post some stuff on there, and Munz's episode on the it was on Instagram.
Yeah, it was on Instagram. Yeah,
they had like 50. I think it's close to 50,000.
It's
plays.
Insane. Mm-hmm. Where he was talking about how
deer hunting is hard.
Archery hunting is hard.
Yeah, archery hunting specifically. Yep. Archery hunting. Yeah.
And what's really funny is some of the comments. You know, one guy was just like, "No, it's not. You're an idiot."
Yeah.
And you know, here it is. Like, I mean, if you're sitting in the same tree stand over like 6 pounds of lucky buck or like a food plot. Mm. Yeah, dude, you're gonna smoke deer every year.
Sure.
You know? And you know what? That's it. That's how you want to hunt, man. All you. And I'm
at
the point now. Yeah, man. I'm at the point now in my life. Like, I don't think I would ever argue with someone on social media.
No.
Because I just don't care. And you know, the platform that we have, we've gotten some hate. And there have been a couple times that I've messaged people like, hey, man, here's my phone number. If you ever want to talk, feel free to call.
Yeah, no doubt.
One guy called me, and we talked it out. I listened to, like, his complaints or his opinions, and it was actually really valid. It was just, you know, some of the stuff that we've been talking about on the podcast, he felt we were, like, sensationalizing, like, social media and the threats to hunting specifically. And it was neat. It was good conversation. And that's, I guess that's where I'm at. Like, I'm not gonna engage in an argument with you on freaking TikTok or Instagram.
No, it's not worth
Here's
it.
Here's my phone number if you want to call.
It's not worth it.
Talk like a man. Great. If not, don't ever comment.
Everyone has their own opinion on things too. And so you're never going to find someone that's going to be correct. So
yeah,
I'll tell you one thing that people have a lot of opinion about: killing birds.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
How'd you like that segue?
It was good.
That's here to talk about killing turkeys. That's a 58 episode in segue for you right there.
No. There you go, man. You're pros at this point.
So yeah, man. So for people that didn't listen to those episodes, I want to get a moment. I think we mainly just talked about you guys in 02. We didn't talk about you and your career, which is ironically going to talk just about turkeys and stuff. So
yeah,
let's get into Paul. The NWTF, Paul.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of go into kind of how that's progressed through your season and stuff so far.
Yeah. So I'm fortunate enough to work for the National Wild Turkey Federation. So I'm the director of development for the Central East. So I'm in major gifts fundraising. So raising funds to keep dollars in the dirt is what I like to say. That's the conservation efforts that that biologists and forestry staff and agency staff in the territories or the states that I work in. So I cover Indiana all the way down to like Southern Tennessee up into New England. So I've got a huge territory.
Sure.
I've got a very fortunate to have my job. I love talking about wild turkeys, Ben. It's the wild turkey and turkey hunting is woven into, you know, the fabric of who I am as an individual.
The fabric of our country.
Yeah, it is. It's like when you look at like the cultural roots of turkey hunting, I mean they run really deep, you know, for a lot of people. And I get some hate for this, but I think that turkey hunting is more important to like the core turkey hunters,
sure,
than it is to the core deer hunters. And the reason that I think that is, and this is just my opinion, so don't be commenting on Instagram about this, boys, is that it you know. Within our lifetime, and when I say not our lifetime, but like modern times,
sure.
The wild turkey was almost completely extinct in this country. And we're talking like best estimates, 200,000 turkeys across the entire landscape.
United States.
Worst case, 30,000 turkeys across the the entire United States. So that rebirth of the wild turkey, I mean, it was gone for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
So I think that's created, like, once you lose something, I think you have a bigger appreciation for it. It's like, Ben, if we took white-tailed deer away in our lifetime, and it was just gone, and there was no deer hunting, and hunters were the ones that led that rebirth of deer in this country, I think there would be a greater appreciation
for,
you know, a generation or two down the road. And I think that's where we're at with turkey hunting because, you know, we talked to our grandparents. Well, we didn't have turkeys.
We didn't have turkeys. So it wasn't something that I feel like has that family tradition deer camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's the greatest conservation story in American history. I mean,
it really is. I mean, you put it up there with, you know, the buffalo, the bison, you know, in this country. And so, you know, whitetails and, you know, hopefully we have, you know, we don't ever have to have that conversation with another game species in this country that, you know, through organizations like National Wild Turkey Federation, NDA, National Deer Association, or Pheasants Forever, you know, that we're able to kind of look around corners from a conservation perspective, you know, and the state agencies through cooperations with, you know, non-government organizations like the NWTF, you know, can really have good conservation practices and wildlife regulations within this country. So it's neat. It's neat that's the model that we have to work with in this country, the North American model of wildlife conservation, that it is hunter centric and hunter driven.
Yeah. So. Oh yeah, for sure. So at your role at the NWTF, clearly you're passionate about it in terms of what you're doing. So you got the dollars in the dirt, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
So what does that all entail? I know you just had convention maybe a month ago, which is like your Super Bowl.
Yep.
So what all does that entail? Like what's your 9-to-5 looking like, or sometimes probably even later, I would assume, but what's that kind of just looking like for you now at NWTF?
So I work with, you know, our members are some of the best people on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
You know, they give their time, treasure, and talent to move the mission, which is the conservation of the wild turkey and the preservation of our hunting heritage. They're the ones that move that mission forward. And so to do that, conservation, like, you have to dig deep into your pockets, man.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's one of those that, you know, to fund the work that we do in this state, and well, not just this state, but we'll talk about Ohio state chapter awarded $50,000 to the Department of Natural Resources to conduct a wild turkey research project that's actively going on.
Yep.
Trapping turkeys on public and private land across different regions of the state. That was funded by the National Wild Turkey Federation. 2021, it was over $100,000 that the NWTF here in Ohio gave to the state to purchase private property down in Shawnee Hills and then convert that private property into public access in perpetuity.
Awesome.
And so what happens once that goes on, then you know, we'll pay for a lot of the conservation work, you know, to get rid of non-native species.
Sure.
If there's any ag land, converting it back to, a lot of times converting it back to, you know,
native grassland.
Yeah. So that's the work that the organization does. And we do that in all, you know, 49 states that hold wild turkeys.
I love it.
So yeah, it's really neat, man. I think the one thing that the NWTF does poorly, and we're getting better at it, is we don't talk enough about the work that the organization does and the members and volunteers do. And, you know, so that's created a lot. You look at it online, man. I see it all the time. Well, what have you done for me lately? Well, we've done all of this. And, you know, I could just launder all those people.
Sure.
But we don't talk about it as much as we should. And I think it's because as an organization and you know, conservationists, you put your head down, you do the right thing, and you just keep doing the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, going forward. So I think it's one thing that we are getting better at, is telling the story of the successes that we've had. And you know, one of the things that we all know about, I mean, just here in Ohio, we went to one bird last year, 2022, mm-hmm. or Bagley went to one spring turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a population decline across the country.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, it's created a lot of hard feelings for the National Wild Turkey Federation. Well, you guys let this happen. You didn't do anything.
Well,
to stop
it. You're kind of getting the NRA kind of thing right there.
And so when you're the, you know, when you are the face of the wild turkey in this country, you're going to get some of that heat. And I think, you know, when you look at like population declines in this country, there's no one smoking gun.
No.
And that's what we want as humans, right? We want, well, Ben, it was the raccoon.
Yep.
Jordan, it was cold, crappy springs, or oh, it's bobcats, or whatever it is. Yep. And the reality is, it's death by a thousand paper cuts.
Exactly.
What is the cause of the population decline in this country? All of it. Like everything that you could say is right. And you listen to guys like Michael Chamberlain, you know, that talk about that, you know, all of those things, nest raiders and coyotes and bobcats and hunters. We have a say in it. I think when you look at the population decline, anyone that's in business, anyone that's in academia or research, when they see opportunity, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's really get a handle of this, understand what's going on, and correct the actions, you know, going forward and do more. And that's where we're at as an organization. That's where, you know, most of your government agencies are at. I think you've got a few. And this is Paul Campbell's taking his NWTF hat off, and Paul Campbell's talking as a turkey hunter. You look at like Alabama last year, you know, Alabama, you know, that southeast, that's kind of like the epicenter of the population decline in this country, right?
It's like three birds.
You kill five in Alabama in 2022. So their big thing was, well, let's just drop to four. That's the solution, right? We're going to drop to four. And so like when you hear about like the population issues, like the states, they react slowly to that because of hunter pressure, right?
Yeah.
And it's managing feelings. It's managing you as well. You're taking something away from me. Well, we're not. We're protecting something for you and for your kids.
Future. Let us.
And so I think that a lot of those states have reacted slowly,
mm-hmm.
state agencies. And I think you're seeing a lot of them, you know, get up to speed. Alabama moved their season back a week.
Yep.
So there are things that agencies and organizations have done to get a handle on this. I think a lot of it, you know, when we look back in 10 years, it's going to be, you know,
it's for the better.
Yeah. We reacted a little too late. You know, let's do this next time. But I really think that in a couple of years because there's a lot of eyes, a lot of really talented people that are laser focused on population declines in this country. I think you're going to be, as turkey hunters, you're going to be happy with the populations and the work that especially in this state.
In Ohio,
I think you're going to be really happy with the turkey
population. Yeah. And as you know, we just had Mark Wiley on, what would that have been? Two episodes ago?
Great guy.
and I joked with, Mark when he was at the store for our turkey calling contest last weekend. But he's probably like one of the most popular guests we've ever had. Mark's had better numbers than Michael Waddell.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy to me to think about that. But yeah, he, but you got people like him and his colleagues. I'm sure he'll tell you himself, he's not doing it alone, but you know, it's, it was funny because, you know, you mentioned the wild turkey research that they're currently doing, excuse me, but they, I think it's what today is, what, the 29th. So at, on the 1st, I think they said they were trying to wrap it up. So, but by this Saturday, they're going to try to wrap up their research because of the baiting. And, you know, he's very, very happy with what he's got. And, you know, that with the help of the NWTF and other people, they're partnering with them to kind of help lead this research. Yeah. I know Ohio State's really involved in it as well.
Yeah. Dr. Gates. And then his grad student, Dylan, is doing a ton of work on it. So I actually got to go to one of the trap
sites. I was just getting ready to ask.
Oh, man, was fun. Ask the question. What do you want to know?
I'm like, steal the thunder, Ben. Well, we joked because I think you asked Wiley, you know, once this guy wants to volunteer, and he's like, yeah, it's really hard. We got rocket-propelled nets and, you know, turkey observations from helicopters and all this stuff, and it's very – you got to be very timely with how you're doing things. You can't just bag a bird with a net and wait, you know, 2 hours before people start to come there.
It was insane.
Yeah. But so you got to go down as part of the NWTF?
Yeah, I did. So I got to go down. Mark invited me. I want to say, like, so I think just we went out on a Wednesday. And I don't remember what the day. We went out on a Wednesday. He called me Tuesday morning. He's like, we're trapping turkeys tomorrow. The weather's perfect. He's like, if you want to go, it's like you're going to have to walk like a mile and a half.
You're like, sure.
Yeah, whatever, man. Like, I once walked 17 miles to kill a turkey. Like, a mile and a half is not that big of a deal. So I got to go down, and it was really neat, man. We were on a big chunk of public down in Southern Ohio.
Yep.
And so Mark and one of the other conservation workers from the state, they got to the bait site like 4 a.m. And I get there, you know, so, and then we've got like a staging area.
Sure.
So there's some researchers, there's some biologists there, there's some conservation workers, and we're all just kind of hanging out. And they've got four wheelers and quads and, you know, ATVs, UTVs, and all this stuff. And we're just sitting there, and they've got everything loaded up. They've got all these boxes, they've got all this gear. We're just sitting there talking. Boom. I mean, you hear that rocket launcher go off, and it is like, it's like a freaking, they're literal pipe bombs.
That's freaking.
And these guys awesome. Spring into action, man. I mean, we're in mid sentence and they just start, I mean, they're literally diving in, putting on helmets, strapping up and ripping.
That's awesome.
And as they're driving off, one of the guys is like, follow the mud tracks. And I'm like, I'll see you there. So I just start walking, man. I'm following the mud tracks, and I, like, my heart is pounding, dude. Like, as soon as that net went off, man, you could hear it.
Excitement.
I mean, it was just like a gobbler working into, you know. And so I'm like damn near running through the woods, trying to get there as fast as I can, because I don't want to miss anything.
Did they give you a four wheeler?
No, they didn't. Yeah, because I'm not a state employee, so it's just like so you can, you know. Yeah. And so I walked. It was about a mile and a half, and I walked about a mile, and finally one of them, they'd gotten. Once that they want to get there, they don't want to stress the turkeys out
more than they have to. Sure.
And so I think we caught nine turkeys.
Awesome.
Eight hens, one Jake. And so they get all of the turkeys out of the net into boxes, and that's when they start to calm down. So once they got that done, they drove back and picked me up and had about another half mile, which is great because it had been raining like crazy.
Yeah.
So it was like as slick as could be. And if you've been Southern Ohio, man, you know it is up and down. And I had fallen a couple of times. So not fallen, but just like, you know, just slip. And so they pick me up, and I get there, and we're pulling up, and I can see these boxes, man, and these boxes, the NWTF logo on them, and, you know, they're.
Yep.
Flopping back and forth, and they've already got a couple out banded and, you know, drawing blood and doing all these things. Yeah, yeah. All the research and banding the hens. And I'm just standing there watching this. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing.
That's awesome,
like,
dude.
I've never touched a live wild turkey, right?
Yeah.
Sure, every time you put your hands on, they're dead.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And so it was just really neat to see, you know, the work going on and just see this animal that I care so much about, like, up close and personal, you know? And I didn't want to touch any, I didn't want to hold any of the hens because I didn't want to be the guy that, like, dropped one. So there was this one hen that and they've got like a limited number of transmitters to put out on these turkeys. And so there was this one hen. So if a hen is sick or injured, they will not put a transmitter on there because, you know, there's a good chance that hen's not going to survive. And so this one hen, there's this massive tapeworm like hanging out of this hen. And so they just realized that, like, this tapeworm is hanging out of this hen. And the young guy that's holding it, like, looks down, and this hen, like, bucks and takes off running. And so he was just like, oh God, I've messed up. And they're like, no, it's okay. We weren't gonna band them. But that was neat to see. I got to band a couple of birds, which was awesome. Got to tie some of the radio transmitters on. So it's a nesting and brood habitat study. So they wanted to see, you know, where these hens are gonna go, where they nest, when they abandon the nest.
Yep.
And then they go in, the researchers go in and look and say, okay, did they all hatch? Was this destroyed? Because they can tell.
Predation.
I don't know if Mark talked about it. They can tell, the way that what happened to the eggs based off of, what they look like.
Yep. Or when the activity stops.
Yeah, exactly. They know that timing and all these things. So they can see, what the success rate of that nest was. And so, we got all these hens banded, and there was a Jake. So they're not putting the transmitters on Jake. So we got to band them. I got to band him, which was cool, and then they let me hold him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like a kid in a candy store, man. You've seen the videos. My face, I was smiling ear to ear,
Well, I got the picture. We'll throw it up.
Yeah, I got some videos that I'll send you, man. It was such a cool experience for me.
Yeah.
As someone, like I said, that really cares deeply. I got to experience, something that not a lot of turkey hunters and conservationists get to, and I may never get to experience that again,
How cool was it to see those NWTF boxes, knowing that they were used? I think if I'm not mistaken, they were used for transport when they were trying to repopulate certain states.
Yeah, so the trap and transfer was the most successful way to reestablish turkey populations across the country. I mean, for decades, PA was real big. They were farming wild turkeys.
Georgia and Florida were pretty big in getting some easterns up here as well. Yeah, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so like the cradle of wild turkey, eastern wild turkeys, and you get those really deep, dark hollers of Appalachia. There were some stable populations. We're going all the way back to the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
When we start talking about trap and transfer. You've got the swamps of Louisiana and Florida. There were some populations established out west. There's just really rocky terrain. You get the Rios and the Merriams out there. So,
yep.
That trap and transfer was started by a guy, a biologist out of South Carolina. Duff Holbrook was his name, and so he was a waterfowl biologist, and they'd been using that rocket net for years to catch birds, to catch ducks, ban ducks.
Yeah.
And so he had the idea, because there was such a population decline, it just disappeared wild turkeys. He's like, I want to see if we can trap these turkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
So they did some modifications, and he was the first one to successfully catch a wild turkey. And it was a hen.
With a rocket net.
With a rocket net. It was a hen. I want to say it was like 1957, something like that. He traps this turkey.
Same technology today? Or a little bit better?
It's literally the same thing. It's nothing. Wow, that's wild. It's nothing.
70 years later, it's the same stuff.
Yeah. It's just, it's such a basic, it's lead that flies forward, pulls a net and stops it, and it just hits, and that's it. I mean, it's the same. It's the same style.
We talked about that bolo rope last week. This is some turkey and Batman stuff here too. Man, oh, net, yeah. Net caption.
Yeah, it's like a cast net for catching bait fish, but with turkeys.
Yeah, they're little 2-inch pieces of that steel pipe.
Yeah,
and it's got a cap on it, and then it's got holes drilled on the bottom, and then there's just an eye hook on the bottom of it, and it's got this launcher. It looks like a hand, and those nets, when those things go off, it shoots. They explode.
Yeah.
And it shoots out fire, and they just go.
How big was the net? Like, what kind of broadcast?
Oh, man, it was probably 100 feet by 30 feet wide.
Also,
feet
got long with the pretty broad.
You watch the videos of the trap and of the rock and net trapping. Like, those suckers, man, it goes. And those turkeys are so fast, and they react so quick.
Yeah.
Boom, that thing's flying. They start running. And some of them outran the net
at
the research project down in Ohio
They're crazy fast. That's what's funny, because I like I was telling you, I had that Jake fly up over my car the other day.
Yeah.
And it was just like out of nowhere. And then the next thing I know, he flew up almost 200 some yards. But I told that story to Wiley, and he's like, I didn't even have any birds fly away for the net. They all ran away. So he's like, that was really random that was the case.
I was always told, and just like experience, like you spook a wild turkey, like they'll run first and then fly.
Yeah.
They want to get to that, that little ridge that's going down, or that little slope where they don't have to, they can just set their wings and rip. Like the Jake that I let loose, and I'll send you the video. I think you guys saw it. It was on Instagram and TikTok, but that sucker didn't fly at all.
No.
I mean, he ran and putted the entire time, and you just see him just weasel down into the woods.
I love it.
Yeah, it was cool, man. It was a once in a lifetime experience for me, man. I'll never forget it.
Well, hopefully it's not. Hopefully you get back there a lot more often.
Yeah, I hope so.
I don't to do it.
Yeah, I think they're gonna do this research project for 3 years. I believe is the time frame.
It seems like 3 years has been kind of the bar set by the state in terms of wildlife research. It's like a 3-year time span. Tonkovich said it. Wiley said it.
Yeah. And what's good too with this research project, it's a multi-state agency.
Yeah.
You know, project. So they're going to be able to take data from Michigan and Pennsylvania and New York and Maryland and Virginia and all these other states and kind of compare and contrast, you know, what are some of the issues that we're seeing. So
it's so awesome to see that's going to be. I know there's some proposals for 2024 with some additional stuff too. I haven't gone through the Wildlife Council stuff yet, but I think that's over now at this point. But obviously, I think this year is one bird. I'm assuming next year is probably going to be a one bird as well.
Yeah. You would have to see, and then this is just me talking as a turkey hunter. I think you would have to see like drastic poult survival from 2020 and then like that winter survival.
Mark did say that we had good poult numbers this spring.
It was good. I think it was back to where it needed to be. And I know he was happy. We saw that drop in harvest, which we had to see.
What did we see, if we get 12,000, 11,000?
Not quite 12, yeah.
11,782. I think is
there.
What.
You go. Yeah,
I have no idea. Often,
remember, because I cheated and used my laptop with this here.
Yeah, so I think, you know, if we get two or three of those smaller harvests, and you get two or three or four, and I know we've had a couple like really good poult survivals, and so you know, with the reduction, you know, we're just playing catch up from crappy weather from 17, 18, 19. Yeah, that's what we're seeing. I know last year, I saw more jakes on the landscape in my hunting here in Ohio than I had in years.
Yeah.
So I think there's some opportunity. There's some reasons to be optimistic about the turkey populations in Ohio and really beyond. So it's just a little more time, a little more patience.
Well, it leads me kind of into the next point. So I asked Mark how much it would cost me to get his Onyx waypoints, but he declined the offer. I asked him again when he was at the store.
He said public record, but by the time we get our hands on it might be useless.
The state moves so slow, by the time I got to him, turkeys would either be dead or moved to a different county by that point. Yeah. So
you know, it's funny when we were down there, they're just like, you can't hunt the birds that you banned. And I respect that. Like, I'll never hunt that. And it's funny because it's an area that I hunt quite a bit.
Sure.
Not necessarily like that location, but when I was down there, I was looking at pens. I'm like, man, I've literally walked down this path.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I look at pens, you know, like, you know, within, you know, 500-600 yards of where we banded these turkeys and released them. So I won't go back there this year. I'm not doing it, man. I'm going to let those guys, you know, I don't want to disturb those turkeys.
No. Sure. I'm more than happy to disturb those turkeys.
I know.
I think we kind of talked where it was. I'm going to go back because I'll make the listener go back to Mark Wiley's episode to listen. Yeah. But there are no turkeys in southern and southeast Ohio, so don't even bother. And as you heard on the last episode, there are lots of ticks down there, so you may not want to go down there, period.
Right, yeah. No reason to go down there.
You're just going
to
get infected by ticks. Yeah. So just leave it to us. Leave it to us. Well, that's awesome, man. And that leads us into, I mean, through NWTF, it's given you, the turkey hunter, an incredible experience.
Yeah.
You just came back from an incredible experience.
I did, yeah.
And so what I kind of do, I want to talk about the Osceola stuff that you just had.
Okay.
Which is everyone's kind of go-to hunt for this crappy spring weather that we've gotten. And then we'll dive into, I want to get into like your kit and like what your setup is looking like too.
For sure.
So you got the hunt with the man. We joked with the ninja hen. But you did go down and get the hunt with Mr. Mike Pentecost.
I did, yeah.
So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so I had three separate hunts that I went on in about 12 days. Yeah, exactly. So the first portion of the hunt, my trip down there was for me. I got to harvest my first Osceola turkey in the southern zone of Florida. That was awesome. The second half was an NWTF donor hunt. Mike Pentecost has done a ton for the National Wild Turkey Federation. So, you know, able to get him down there. I hunted with him. His son Isaac is 16 years old, and him and Mike, they're going on a double Royal Slam tour of the U.S. this year. So that's for Isaac. And so he was able to get his second Osceola of the year down there with me, which was really cool, awesome. Man. And so like the day before, myself and my coworker Zach, we were out scouting, listening. You know, we didn't do any calling, just listening to these turkeys. And we set up some blinds, and it was funny, man. So we get Mike and his crew. So it was Mike, his son Isaac, and then then two cameramen, Philip and Dylan. So they get down there like we hunted Wednesday. They get down there like 9 o'clock on Tuesday night. And actually, that was a little earlier than that. We were able to have dinner, so it was like 7 o'clock Tuesday night. They get down there, and they've never been to this property. I've only been to this property for about 8 hours. So, so we're like, you know, we got some birds. We built some blinds, which the one thing I love about Florida is they got those live oaks that like some of them, the way they grow, there's just, they make like perfect blinds. Well, we took palmetto fronds.
Yeah. Fronds and red. Yeah.
And we just made like these huge blinds. And so the one area, like I'd heard some turkeys in the morning. I'm like, they're in this corner of the farm. So we go over there, beautiful live oaks, man. We set up, cut these blinds. I'm like, man, this is going to be great. And so I take Mike and his crew out there. And this is like 5 a.m. We get there super early, man. I mean, it's like we're at the tree by like 5:30.
Did you get to walk through all your snakes and spiders?
You know, man, knock on wood.
I heard you talking about that.
Yeah, so I didn't have any like super close interactions with a snake in Florida.
Or
which
gator.
I got like 15 feet from a gator. Which is, you know, which was fine because he was just like, I'm not going to mess with you. I'm just like going this way. I did kick up a Florida panther, with my tube call down in the Everglades. I was hunting literally in the swamps of the Everglades. I was pissed off. I couldn't find any turkeys that were on areas that I could hunt that I had access to. So I had this Primo's Foggy Bottom tube call.
Yeah.
And I love a tube call. That's my favorite call, right? And I hit this thing as hard as I could just to see if I can get something to gobble. And I get this, like, it like screams at me. And I see like a flash, like run away, you know, maybe like 60 or 70 yards. And I was like,
probably stalking
what the
you.
Hell, what the hell was that? And I was like, man, the thing like screams. So I pull out my phone. I'm like, and I set it on this tree. And I was going to record. And I look up and there's a freaking snake skin like right in the tree that I'm setting my phone in. And I was just like, I don't know what the hell's going on in this state right now, but I went out of here, man. So I set this phone up and I was like,
Florida.
I just heard the craziest sound. Let me see if I can replicate. I hit this tube call again, nothing. And so I didn't know what it was, but I mean, it was literally like someone like screamed at me. And so I go to the, and this is the name of the place. It's the Skunk Ape headquarters, right? And so it's just this little shop, like in the middle of the Everglades, in the swamps, right? And so I just wanted to check it out. And I go in, the guy's like, yeah, did you hear any turkeys? I'm like, yeah, I heard one, you know, over in this area that you can only hunt with a bow or a muzzle loading shotgun. So, you know, obviously that's where all the turkeys are because, you know, no one's hunting at the time with the bow and the muzzle. And I was like, and I also heard like, I was like, I made a really loud call and I heard something like yell at me. I was like, I have no idea what it was. He's like, it sounded like someone yelling. He's like, yeah. So I was a Florida panther. He's like, it was probably asleep under a tree or something.
He just woke him up.
Scared the hell out of it and it took off running.
He just woke up.
Didn't know what it was.
Back here, just comes running out.
Oh, yeah. And he's just like, that's pretty cool. And so it was neat, man. I saw a bunch of deer down there, which was crazy. I saw a fawn, full spots. I saw bucks in velvet. And this is March. I'm like,
yeah.
What is going on in this state, man? Like, it's just, yeah, it's so, yeah. So back to the Pentecost hunt, man. Like, so we take him out there and we set up under this tree and the sun's starting to come up and Mike is just ripping me apart about the setup. I want to set up here, but in a nice way, like if you guys have ever watched Mike Pentecost talk or like on videos, he's like the nicest guy. And he was teaching me what, and he was just like, you know, he's like, I wouldn't have picked this tree. I would have been over there. And he's like, you know, and this is why. And he's like, where'd you hear those turkeys? I'm like, they're right over there. And he's like, no, they weren't. He's like, that's too thick. They're not roosting in that crap. He's like, and we're sitting there and the sun's starting. Nothing's like the day before they'd started gobbling about 6:35, I think was the first turkey gobble I heard. And this is 6:50. So nothing's gobbled. And I'm starting to panic. I'm like, dude, he's right. Like, I pick like the worst spot.
Yeah.
And he leans over. This is I looked at my phone. It's 6:52. And he's like, Paul, if I was a turkey, I'd roost in that tree right there. And he's like, this is why. He's like, easy to run up. He's like, there's some big branches coming off this big pine, this big, big longleaf pine. And he's like, I would have roosted there. He's like, if I want to gobble, they're going to hear this and they're going to see this. And I can see everywhere. It's like, definitely not roosting there where you said it would. And he's like, and that's the tree that you told Philip to sit on. So his cameraman is sitting on this tree.
Oh, geez.
And he's like, that's where I would roost as a turkey. And he's like, maybe I might roost in that one over there. And he points out to this another tree in this. And there's nothing under these trees. It's like a fenced in like cow pasture, right? And we're outside of the fenced in cow pasture. 2 minutes later, dude, this turkey freaking fires off. And it is in that damn tree.
Right
above. Mike was like, that's where, I mean, it is literally right the same tree that Philip's sitting on. And Mike Pentecost leans over and he's like, told you. And I start laughing. Like, I've tried to like hold in a laugh because I was in an absolute panic.
Oh, yeah.
Because like, I've got all of these people here. I'm like, this is a great spot. And this turkey starts gobbling, and it was just like a wave of relief. And he's like, "Told you." Wow. And I was like trying to hold in a laugh. I'm like, man, this is unbelievable. And so this turkey fires off, man. And it's funny, Dylan and Philip, like, and I can see Philip, and he's sitting on the tree that this turkey's roosting. He like lifts his finger up to turn the camera on, and like slowly puts it down. You see the camera light up. And he like moves real slow, and he's got the camera film. You know, we've got decoys out, and so this turkey and hammers again. And Mike Pentecost, it was neat. He leans over again. He's like, "I'm going to show you some Woodhaven history here." And that's all he said. And he pulls out. And it ended up being, the cluck and purr pot that they make.
Okay.
It was the first rendition of that cluck and purr pot that he made back in like the 80s. And he's still, wow. Like, there's literally like, so it's a slate call.
Yeah.
But there's no bottom.
Okay.
But there are chunks of this slate call missing. There's just pieces missing. Yeah. And so he gets this thing, and he's got that big cluck and purr striker, and man, he starts purring on that thing, and he doesn't stop until that turkey gets shot. And so I'm watching him,
really,
and it was just like a lesson in, like that. By the time that turkey and here's the first thing that I picked up, it was so quiet, it was unbelievably quiet, like to the point that like I'm literally like our shoulders are touching in this blind. And I could see him calling. I could barely hear it. That's how quiet he was calling. And that turkey, by the time that turkey was beside himself, by the time he flew out of this tree. I mean, he was gobbling. Wow, 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 wow. And Mike's just purring a little bit of cluck here and there. And he'd throw in like this little double purr. He's like rotating the strike. And I'm watching all this. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I'm freaking out, right? Like, because inside I'm like, this is one of the like the literally like one of the best turkey callers of all time, one of the best turkey hunters ever, and I'm sitting right here watching all of this unfold.
Yeah.
And this Tom dude flies out, hits the ground, gobbles, struts up, and Mike just picks it up, and he's just wow, 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 and he goes out of my view because Mike's in the way, and I'm watching all of this happen on their little screen on the camera, and this turkey, and so what's funny is like, you know, I've been turkey hunting for 15 years, and there's guys that like, you don't get option, you know, as a public land hunter, like you don't always get chances to shoot turkeys.
Yeah.
Right. So when it happens,
you gotta make the most of it.
It's time to go. You know, this turkey hits the ground. I'm like, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. 3 minutes later, this turkey's still alive. And I'm like, he's got to shoot this turkey. And they're just watching him strut and drum.
Yeah.
And he's gobbling and he's attacking the decoys, and this decoy's spinning around, and this turkey's jumping on it and pecking it, and he's pecking the hen. He flipped the hen over, and I'm like, I am beside myself because I'm watching all this on a little screen. I'm like, shoot this turkey. Like at any minute, someone else is going to walk in and start yelping at this turkey, you know, and I'm like, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. And finally, like they get, you know, they just, it was, but it was so neat watching this turkey just be a turkey.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And Mike is calling literally the entire time.
Just purring. No yelping or nothing there.
Like the softest, like quick yelps that you could possibly imagine. And Isaac shoots this turkey, and two turkeys gobble over here. A turkey gobbles right behind me. And I'm like, Mike, there's more turkeys. And so he ramped up that calling to a level that I didn't know was possible. It was just like hateful purring is the only thing that I can
really
like, yeah. And I've tried to replicate it, and I'm getting better at it, but it was just like, it had like such an urgency with the purring. There were two turkeys that they came unhinged, dude. And they're probably 250 yards away. And so they're working and they're gobbling the entire time. So he's like, watch this. He gets out this real hen, cherry real hen.
Yeah.
And he's just pop, 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 pop. And he's holding
just cutting
it.
On it.
He's just cutting on it, and he's got his thumb here, and he's got his glove.
Yep.
That's all he's doing. And these turkeys just wow, 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 wow. I wish I could gobble because when you get these guys like gobbling on podcasts, you know, when it tells
the story, man,
it's so much better, man. And I can't gobble, so he's hitting it, and I am unhit, like completely unstrapped at this point. Like, dude, I'm about to pass out, like, because this is the greatest hunt that I've ever, like, it took everything in me to like stay in my seat and not get up, you know, to go run out, because man, I love seeing turkeys.
I'm getting jacked up just listening to it,
man. And I am like, I am beside myself, and I'm filming, you know, Mike, you know, calling everything, and finally these two turkeys come over the hill, and they are full strut, and they're just gow, 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 gow. Yeah. They're like bumping into each other, and they see this Jake decoy, and they zero in on this thing and start hitting this Jake decoy, and it's spinning around on its stick, right? And every time the head of this decoy would come in, and you know, so like it would spin, the toms would back up, and then they would hit it, and then they would back, like, so they're like bobbing and weaving, and I'm trying not
like,
to laugh.
It's like a boxing
match. Oh, dude, and they're just hitting this thing, and it's just spinning around back and forth, and they're gobbling. Mike's just like just this fighting purr, man, and I'm like, someone kill this freaking turkey. Like, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah,
man.
No joke.
And then so Dylan was the other guy that was able to shoot, you know, that was his first Osceola ever. And so he shoots this turkey, and I'm like, dude, great, we're done. I'm gonna go see this. And then these hens, man, like right over the ridge, they'd come in with this tom, these two toms. It was the prettiest hen yelping I've ever heard.
Really?
It was because they were just, they were so focused on like the calling that the other the toms were doing, and they were ready to breed, that they didn't care about the second tom, he stuck around for 10 minutes after this turkey was shot. He never left, man.
Yeah.
He was just attacking the decoy, attacking his buddy. He was gobbling at these hens, and these hens were yelping, and he's gobbling at them, and then Mike's like, and this is where, like, I'm a good turkey caller. There are guys like Mike Pentecost, and that they're a different level.
Yeah, they're almost a turkey.
And so I was listening to him, and like at this point, like two turkeys are dead, so everyone's super relaxed. Isaac had gotten up and was like sitting next to me, and we were listening. Just, you know, we wanted to see these hens come in. They wanted to get good video of the hens.
Yeah,
and Mike's just like he shows me like how to get that extra, like go to that next step, right?
Sure,
that next level. And so it was like a practical, like, lesson in the turkey woods with a phenomenal turkey caller.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if I'll ever get to experience that again, but just mimicking the hens, like everyone tries to mimic the hens, and like, you get close, you know, mm-hmm. like I can work a tube call really, really well. A slate call, like I'm good at it. And then watching Mike, it was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he showed me some of his tricks, and I was like, dude, this is absolutely insane. This is the greatest hunt. So finally, we get up, the gobbler just takes off finally, and the hens pick him up, and they move on. And I took a video of Mike and his son and Dylan walking out, like their hands are up, you know, they're like, dude, we did it. It was so cool, man.
It's all because you put him in the right spot.
And that's, and, you know, that was funny. So like the rest of the time that we were together, it was just like, Mike would be like, Paul, if I was a turkey, I'd be in that tree right there. And he's like, I'll never let you live that down. And like, because I didn't tell him, like, you know, at the end, like after, I'm like, dude, I can't tell you how. Like, I was literally like, I was in a panic.
Yeah, yeah.
That you know, we're not going to see any turkeys on this hunt, you know. And so but it was great. Like, where the tree that I had set Philip, like the day before, we're like, all right, man, because they got these cameramen, they're going to want a different angle. Like, that tree had the perfect view of where we set the decoys. Like, I had stepped out, like, where to put the decoy. And this is like, there's like a little ridge here, a little rise, you know? So if they come this way, they're going to have a good view. You know, so like, I'd done my homework, and you know, later in the day, they're like, you did a good job.
Yeah.
That'll do, pig. Was, you know, it's
not
like, yeah, that'll do, pig. So I felt really, really good about that, but man, what a hunt. And so the next day I had an NWTF donor come down from New York. He needed an Osceola for his Royal Slam.
Yeah.
And so we had set up, you know, picked another blind, and we get set up, and we got two gobblers gobbling, and we got hens yelping. And I'm like, all right, man, this is going to be cool. And they come out of the field, and I see them, and it's two toms, full strut with three hens. I'm like, oh, crap, here we go. Like, that's like the worst case scenario for any turkey hunt. It doesn't matter what state you're in, Jordan. If you've got toms with hens, you're like, yep, game over. It's been good, boys. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to try it, man. I get out my purring pot, you know, from Woodhaven. I'm just like, just like Mike did. And those toms like, bow, 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 bow. I threw in a gobbler yelp, and they're just like, bow. And I can see them. Like, I'm watching them. I'm like, I just need you. They're on like this little ridge. I'm like, they need to take one step towards me.
Yeah.
And it's game on. Like, if they take one, they're going to take the rest, you know?
Sure.
And the hens just stopped on this hill, and I'm just doing exactly what Mike did, man. I'm just purring. I'm throwing a little, you know, like a little yelp, you know,
yeah.
Just, but it's just real soft.
Real soft.
And that fight and purring and all that stuff, and heads turned white, dude, and here they come. And so, but when they started to come, like, they dropped down this ridge, and I couldn't see them. at that point because there's like this little dip. And I'm just like, I didn't stop purring because I could hear them gobbling. And I whispered to my guy hunting. I'm like, they're coming. And he's, you know, he's older and I'm sitting back. I'm like, you know, when I call and I can't see, like, I'm just, cause I don't want my, see my hand. So I'm like, hunkered down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't see him and they didn't gobble. And I was like, man, I wonder if these turkeys are going to show up. And he picks up his gun, puts it on his rest, and we're in like a palmetto blind. So, I mean, you could like freaking jazz hands in this thing and they're not going to see it, you know?
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, they must be, oh my God, they're right there. Like they're right there. And they come in, they're hitting the decoy and he pounds that thing. And that other, that second turkey just stood there. And so I'm like, as loud as I can. He's gobbling, dude. He's just losing his mind. And I was just like, I want to make something. I just want to, at this point, like, I want to have some fun. So I gave him one of the old Aaron Warburton, like, you know, like, just yelling at things, like, gobbles.
Got him with that cock call.
And I start laughing. And so we, you know, I get up, and those hens are standing right there, man. Like, they just watched all of this go down. They're like, dumbasses, we told you not to go. And that gobbler, like, looks at me, and he gobbles one more time. He's just like, they like slowly move away.
Yeah,
they had had no idea what had happened. But man, like, dude, what a hunt, man!
What a
week!
What a three? Yeah, I'll say four birds down in a week.
I saw four turkeys die middle of March. Which that's you talk about, man.
Talks about get you jacked up for the end of April.
Yeah, sure. And my hunt was not anything even like remotely as cool as that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just I had like one hen decoy out, and we'd been hunting the cypress swamp. Turkeys, like, it was so hot, man. Like, they wanted to be close to the water, and it was just real buggy in there, you know, and plenty of food for them. And one of the lessons that, you know, like, that you learn as a turkey hunter, when you're hunting, like, when you first start turkey hunting, you're like, this looks like a really good spot to hunt. Like, this is where I want to be. The turkeys are going to come here. And then they hit the ground and they go somewhere completely out, you know, so the lesson that I learned was, and it's so stupid, but like, you got to know, like, you go where the turkeys want to be.
Yeah.
You know, and when we were hunting with my friend, I'm like, you know, I'd never been onto this property. I'm like, all right, man, what's, and you pull up on X and it's just green.
Like, yeah. You don't know. Yeah. You gotta get
boots on the ground. I was like, what's in this cypress forest that's holding them? And he's like, well, there's like this little tiny clearing that, like, there's like little, you know, grass is maybe like 7 or 8 inches tall. I'm like, he's like, it's maybe like a quarter acre, half acre. Take me there right now.
Yeah.
Take me there. And so we set up, it was about noon, and we're sitting there for 2 hours. And this is my friend Clyde. This is his first turkey hunt ever, right? He's a deer hunter, he's a hawk hunter.
Yeah.
Never turkey hunted. And, you know, it's like 91 degrees, I think. And like, dude, we're just getting roasted, man. I'm sweating like crazy. And I look back at Clyde and he's got his hat off, his face mask off. He's just dumping sweat. He's like, dude, this turkey hunt sucks. I was like, he's like, I hate this. And I was like, this is not like, it doesn't suck. And we're talking like full volume, just as loud as we are now. And this turkey fires off like 30 feet from us, nothing, gobbles. And I'm like, oh my God,
nothing will change your outlook. And so, on something faster,
like, we
than
both pull our masks up. Yep. Yeah, that's right. We both pull our masks up as quick as we can. Like, my legs are completely spread out. I got my shotgun on the ground and like, this thing gobbles. Dude, and I pick up my gun as fast as I can. I don't even risk pulling my knees up, you know?
Yeah.
He gobbles again and he, like, it is the loudest gobbling. Cause I mean,
it's close.
He was within like 15 feet was the closest that he gobbled.
You feel that one in your chest.
You can feel it, and he's drumming. And if you've ever been around a turkey that drums, it's just this really weird sound. It's like, and you can almost like feel it. And they move their feathers somehow. And like, you can hear the air like rippling through his feathers. And like, this is insane. And after the second gobble, like, I started to shake. And I closed my eyes and I was like, do not let that gun barrel move. I was like, control yourself, man. And so I didn't dare move my head. So the decoy's off to my right, and he is like right here. And I've got my eyes like to the point where like my contacts are starting to slide because I've got them buried to the side of my head as far as I can. Excuse me. And I see him come out, and he wasn't in full strut or anything. Gobble one more time, and I'm just like, oh my God, dude, I'm gonna pass out. I built like a little blind, and there was a section about this big that didn't have anything open. Didn't have any cover there.
Yeah.
And dude, he saw something that he didn't like. So he turned, and he wasn't running quick, but he had turned and started to walk away. And so I swung on him, and he was 15 feet from me when I shot him. Shot at him. So the first shot, like that TSS that I'm shooting, man, it was tight. So tight, dude. Yeah. It went right over his head.
Oh, sure.
And so he starts to run, and I swing my body, and I get down. And I'm like, just relax, man. Like you're gonna be, just get on the bead. And I do, and man, I popped him, and he rolled, and I was just like, get up, dude. I'm not waiting, man. You know, I run over there and I pick him up, and man, it was so cool, man. And I was just like, hell yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
And my buddy Clyde, he was video, and he walks up and he's like, I didn't know that's what they sounded like. He's like, it sounded like an alien. I'm like, I know, man. And he's like, I love this. I got to do this every year.
Yep.
And it's just like, you know, some of the guys on Instagram yesterday called me the Morpheus of turkey hunting, like take the red pill.
Yeah,
know?
Dude.
And he took the red pill that moment. And it's neat, man, is someone that, like, I love to turkey hunt. But when I see someone, they get to experience like what I've experienced, and they're like, holy crap, that's what you've been talking about? Yes. Yeah. Because you can talk about it until you're blue in the face. But once you experience something like that, you're like, okay. Yeah. You have my full attention, and it was cool, man, watching him get hooked.
It's one of those things too where it's like I remember the week of like gun season when I first got introduced into deer hunting with an ex-girlfriend's father. Mm-hmm. And he took me out, and I kind of have bits and pieces of that week. I remember every minute of my first turkey hunt.
Yeah.
From the moment that we shut the truck door, we had a gobble as soon as we shut the truck door, which is a spoil for a kid that is his first time.
Yeah.
And all the way down to walking the field at night, we actually used a domestic turkey decoy too.
No kidding.
Yeah, there was a guy that had some domestic turkeys local in the area. And so we're like, yeah, let's throw one of these out here too. It's a little bit odd.
Yeah.
And but I had moved. They had set me up, and I had moved, and I didn't know that he was here. But the cameraman, Caleb, he was a good friend of mine. He was coming across. Yeah. Flew off, and we tried to chase it. You ain't chasing them. They're gone. Or even, you know, going down to – so I've been in two areas. Been in Tri-Valley area, Dresden area, hunting up there in Woodbury, as well as in Southeast Ohio with Curtis on our team. And there is nothing better than hearing a gobble when you can't see in front of your – you can't see your hand in front of your face, like just barely.
It's like pitch black.
And you're just trailblazing through whatever, getting there. And, man, it's something else. It's something else. I'm excited.
Man, I love it.
And by the time this is recording, hopefully we're all good to go. It'll be the week after the start of season. I think, what, 22nd?
22nd is the opening.
Yeah, so this will be on the 25th. So hopefully I'm already bagged up and ready to eat, baby. Hopefully that turkey's on the Traeger at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, do yourself a favor, man. Don't just breast it out. Like, if you're going to throw that sucker on the trigger, pluck him out, cape him out, whatever you want to do.
It really depends. I have just like anything, right? You're already thinking about the trophy before you get the bird, right?
Yeah.
It's the carriage before the horse. And man, those mounts that I've been seeing now with the picture frames with the tail fin and the tail fan and the wing feathers. Kind of mounted up in a frame, like a picture frame. Could you imagine if you had a slam and you had every bird like in a row, like a picture collage in your house?
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that, the turkey rug or cape or whatever they call it. I'm going to do that with my Osceola. And so, you know, this year I've got, you know, my Osceola is in the bag. I've got some opportunities for Easterns. And then I've got a Merriam's hunt planned in Montana. So I told my wife, I'm like, you know, listen, like if I get three of the four in 1 year, like I'm just not coming home until I have a Rio.
Yeah. I'll just make the trip down.
Yeah. And I was just, and so, you know, it's funny. I did an interview, with some guys, a group called Team Wingbone out of Louisiana. Great guys, man. Yeah. You know, they've been their first turkey in their family that was killed was in 1933. So talk about like family tradition, man. Sure. That is like deep. And so, I told her, I was talking to them. They're like, don't get stuck on third base. Yeah, that's all. And that's been ringing in my mind. So I haven't looked at anywhere to hunt Rios, and I will look at that literally the moment that I pull the trigger and kill a Merriam's. Like, I'm just going to sit there and just, like, Google, like.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And I have a general idea of, like, where their, you know, where their habitat is and, like, their ranges.
And he kills a Rio, and he's like, well, I might as well go to South America.
Oh, and the Gould time. Yeah, I don't know about all that. Jay Scott ain't ready for this, right?
No joke. Actually, who just killed her ghoul is Rochelle. No, she killed an oscillated. Did you see that picture?
Looks like a peacock.
Yeah, they're like a cross between like a peacock and like a turkey. Man. Yeah. They're pretty, and they're in like a very small portion of Mexico, in that Yucatan area or something like that.
Yeah, she just got one the other day. It's been about a month ago at this point. But yeah.
Who was that?
Rochelle Hedrick from a DSG. We had her on. She's a great. They're down from West Virginia.
Okay.
West Virginia area. So at this point, when this releases, we're going to be about 3 days in. I'm hopefully not even going to be in the office when this releases because
just set it up to load, man.
Set it up to load. Yeah. Send it out. Yeah, we're going to have to send it up on Friday because this boy is going to be trying to chase some birds. Yeah. But hopefully I'm done. But regardless, let's get into what's your setup look like? We have some calls.
Yeah.
You know, I joked with you. I got my new Sitka vest over there available at the store.
That thing's slick.
We got a shout out, Mike. So we do have, if you want to try the calls, I have the Woodhaven Ninja Hen right here.
Yep.
We have the Real Hen, which was what you talked about too, in terms of box calls, all the pot calls. I think we even have some, we have a ton of mouth calls, which is something that I'm still practicing getting good at.
I don't mess with mouth calls. I've been trying for 15 years to run a mouth call. I've got like a terrible gag reflex. And so Ben, it's to the point now, like I'm starting to put a mouth call in. I'm just like, bleh.
You should try the mini frame.
I've tried all of it.
So we have that mini frame.
Yep.
I'm tongue tied. So I have a hard time like manipulating my tongue on the call, but obviously the box call,
guys, hang on
friction,
a second.
Friction call. Ben's
hard
got
drives blinking at me.
Hard drives blinking. I picked up a, what's it? HS strut? Is it HS?
Mm.
Hunter Specialty. I picked up a, they have a pot call that has a cover on it to teach you.
Oh, yeah.
It's got like a, it's like cut out almost like operation, like operation. And I give it to the kids. I got my daughter over there clucking.
Oh, that's great.
Or hitting a cut or doing a yelp.
Yep, you're good.
Well, cool, man. So, we can't go any further. I mean, you mentioned Mike on your hunt there, but we got to shout out Woodhaven calls, which are available at Vance Outdoors. We have everything from your pot calls. I think we have slate, crystal. I think there's a composite one that's like waterproof.
Down with the box calls. The fusion is the one.
The fusion,
And I'm not like a rep for Woodhaven. So, but this Woodhaven, that's just the calls that I've been using for years. And, you know, it's like you're a golfer, like you suck at golf. And you're like, oh, I'm going to go out and buy like a $1,500 pair, like set of golf clubs. And like, you still suck at golf.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So I kind of had that mentality when I first started, you know, thinking about like Woodhaven calls, because they're expensive. Like they're not cheap.
No.
And I can tell you that like what you get with a Woodhaven call, like it's worth the investment.
Yeah, I think that's why we brought him in too.
And when the first call that I bought from Woodhaven was that cluck and purr pot. It's like $50, right? It's the cheapest call that they offer. And I wish I would have brought it in. It's in my truck. But it's not, you know, it's not like what, it's a soft calling call. Like it's made to be quiet. And I didn't realize that. So I'm like,
trying to hit hard.
What do I do now? Like so I didn't realize, like I've heard Mike Pentecost say before, that that's the deadliest call that Woodhaven's ever made, that cluck and purr pot. And that is without a doubt like a true statement. So I think the next call that I bought, I must have been like a Cherry Classic or something like that, which is their number one selling call of all time. But that's like, it's just a glass call. And, you know, the moment I hit it, I'm like, this is way different than anything that I've ever owned and I've ever run. So I think like for a turkey caller, like if you're good and you've been running, you just say a $20 or $35, $40 call.
Yeah.
And you get that $100 Woodhaven call, like there is a distinct difference.
Step your game up.
Does it make you kill more turkeys? Maybe. Like in certain scenarios, you know, where I think like that realism, you know, where the $100, you know, Woodhaven custom call versus, you know, like just a call that you'd buy at Walmart for like $20. Like there is an audible difference to those. Will that $20 call kill a turkey? Absolutely. First turkey I ever killed, man, was with the Primos Power Crystal, like $10, you know?
Oh, sure. It kind of goes back to the camo stuff too, right? Oh, I've been killing deer in my red flannel jacket since 1960. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But also, and we've talked about this before, I want to stack all the cards in my favor that I can.
Yeah.
Whether or not I'm going to kill more birds than John Smith the hunter, That's not the debate. The debate is for me to how do I want to do it? And, you know, like I mentioned to you, I think when we have some issues there, the, you know, I'm tongue tied, so I have a hard time running mouth calls.
Yeah.
And it's not, unfortunately, and that's why I'm gravitating more towards friction, because they're not cheap, but, you know, fortunately I work here and I'm able to try different stuff, but to buy a $15 call and then not work for me, and then I got to buy another $15 call.
Adds up.
Yeah, it adds up for a while.
Yeah.
And then once you find one that you like, you know, at some point you're going to want to replace it with another or change it up, or different calls do different things. And so, but let's get into your bag. Outside of the calls, I think, like I said several times, you know, when this releases, we're going to be just outside season. Hopefully we're already done killing birds at this point. It'd be great if we were, man. 3 days
in. I don't know, man. Like, I love to turkey hunt, so I can only afford to hunt out of state so much. So if I killed my Ohio turkey
the first week,
like on opening day, I would be like distraught. And I'm like, I just have to tell my wife, like, listen, turkey hunting just got a little more expensive for us this year.
Yes, no doubt. What is your setup? Because I'm making a big leap this year. Like I told you, I got the Sika, our new Sika jacket. After a conversation we had with Tim, I've picked up all the new Insect Shield stuff to go along with that, so I'm staying tick safe this year, especially down in Southeast Ohio.
Oh, that's the
worst. Then last year was the toll. I mean, Kurt and I went to, like I've talked about on this episode, on this show, but Southeast Ohio can make a man or a kid out of you real fast. And lugging the 870 Express up and down some of those power line cuts is not for the faint of heart. So I switched to a 410 this year.
Okay, good for you.
So I switched to a 410 with a Vortex Vipe Venom, Vortex Venom.
Red dot.
Yep. It's a perfect little turkey gun. Shoot 40 yards, TSS loads.
Yeah, that's a good setup. So shotgun, I know that a Remington 870 has killed more turkeys in this country than any other gun combined.
100%.
And it will probably stay like that for perpetuity, right?
Oh,
it's never going to change. I've shot some turkeys with an 870. I've gone back and forth. I bought one of the Savage 301s a couple years ago. Yep. I hunted with that. I sold it. It was a 20 gauge. I like the new Savage or Stevens. That's got the thumb stock.
That's the one I bought.
Yeah. So Isaac Pentecost, he had a 20 gauge Stevens. Mm-hmm. It had the thumb stock and real nice red dot setup. And I'm holding this thing. I'm like,
light.
Dude, you could kill a turkey one handed with this thing.
Yeah.
And I like with the red dot is that it's aimed wherever it needs to be, like regardless of the position of your head, where that red dot
parallax
is.
Parallax free.
Parallax free. Yep. Wherever that red dot is where it's going. And so I think for new turkey hunters, that's a great setup.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheap. It gets you in the woods.
And Federal, and if I'm not mistaken, Federal and Stevens / Savage work together for that choke tube.
Yeah.
So you're not spending an extra $80 or $90 on additional choke tube.
It's a nice choke. When I had it, and I think I bought mine, I want to say like 2018, and I hunted with it for 2 years. It was a nice, it patterned nice. Those 20 gauges. I was shooting the Turkey Ninja from Apex, Woodhaven Special. I also had the Federal, the patterned really nice out of there. Mm-hmm. Those are good setups. I hunt with a Browning A5. I'm a glutton for punishment, so I shoot 3.5 inch TSS, and I do that one.
How's that shoulder?
Well, so there's, you see that? The remnants of that bruise, that sucker, that was the Osceola that I shot. Like I shot, you know, I had the gun placed where I should have, you know, right here, and I missed. Thankfully, I had three shells in there. So when I moved, that gun was just, because I was sitting like this. I mean, there's no, that's just where it had to be. And you know, with that A5, you've got the high vis and you've got that white bead,
mm-hmm.
you know, where kind of you use it to, you know, as an alignment tool. And I didn't miss a second time. I like the 3.5 inch TSS. And like I said, this is just because I'm an idiot and I'm a glutton for punishment. When you pattern those guns and you see the amount of force and the amount of pellets that's in a pattern at 20, 30, 40, and I've never shot a turkey over 40 yards. I don't think I would. I'll be honest with you. If it's for my grand slam this year and that turkey is at 55 yards, like I've patterned that gun at like 70 yards, it would kill turkeys. Like that's insane.
Those TSS loads are,
it's insane. I don't, and I almost think at that point, like it's cheating. I'm going to be honest with you. If it's at 50 yards, I'm pulling, that's it. He ain't coming anymore.
Yeah.
I'm shooting him. And I know, but I've shot that gun. Dude, I've shot $600 with the TSS for that gun at paper targets. Like, I know what that gun can do and can't do, and I'm confident with that gun. You know, normally I like to get them close. That turkey that I shot in Florida was probably, it was less than 30 yards.
Yeah.
You know,
it's almost too
full,
close.
Full dead close run. Sometimes. Like, that was, yeah. Like, I'm pretty happy with that shot.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, so I shoot that A5. It's a heavy gun, man.
Yeah.
You know, but it, you know, for what I'm glad that I, you know, would I have missed with the single shot with that red dot? Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the way that I was shooting,
but
you know,
had to follow up.
Yeah. But I had the follow up. So that's where I fall, man, because stuff happens.
Yeah.
You know, nerves happen. Those birds are, dude, they're constantly moving, man. Their heads are always moving and bobbing and waving, you know, and you have 15 feet. Like, I mean, dude, that pattern was probably that big. Yeah, honestly, like at 15 feet, like it's barely in the wad, you're out of the wad, you know?
Yeah.
so that's the gun that I use, and I'll probably always use that gun. I love it. Sure. Maybe when I get older, you know, and I'm tired of getting, you know,
chewed up,
separated shoulder. You know, every time I pull the trigger on that, you know, I'll switch to something. I do like I said, I do like that 401 or 301 setup. I'm high on that. I'd probably, you know, if I was looking to get into turkey hunting, that's where
it's an affordable price. I think we have them. I don't know how much.
You just had a sale on them for $185.
Yeah. I'll say
that's a hell of a deal.
Yeah. 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 I was gonna say it was less than $200. And so you figure by the time you add a red dot on it,
you can get
$500.
Like, yeah. Total. You can get a really
lightweight.
Yeah. You can get a really, really good red dot for like $250.
And if you're really big into public land hunting, This is where I'm going to get at. So 12 gauge, if we're going out and we know that we got a property here in Central Ohio and I only have to walk 100 yards to the blind area, I'll bring my 870 all day, right? Because I know that I got the three shots, I got the 12 gauge power. But the other option too, I think it's TR Imports. If I'm not mistaken, we had them at the store. I can't tell you what. They're around the same price. They actually had a single shot and it broke down in half, almost like a survival rifle. Yeah, so the barrel and everything, if you had some cording, or like straps, you could wrap that together.
You could throw it in your pack.
Throw it in your pack or on your pack.
That's interesting.
Put your 410 in.
Yeah.
Frame it up and you're good to go.
The one thing that I can say about the 301 that I didn't like is that rail was really high.
It is.
So there's a company out there, Sumtoy. I don't want to check them out. Yeah, they make a thinner rail for that shotgun. It's like $35-$40, something like that. It's not much, but it's like half the thickness of that rail. So if you want like a lower profile, that's one way to go. That was like my biggest complaint. I just found out about these
especially
mouths.
Especially if you're like all tucked up and you're like trying to really conceal yourself.
Oh yeah, you feel like you're 8 inches above the top. It's just a weird feeling, and that goes back to shoot it, get comfortable with the firearm that you're using to hunt turkeys.
So. That's once I get back from the ODNR thing on Saturday. That's my goal this weekend.
One of the things that was, you know, like in the How to Hunt Turkeys podcast, I get a lot of questions. You know, it's obviously it's geared towards people learning to turkey hunt or be better. And I had a conversation with a guy and he's like, well, what choke should I use? I'm like, you need an extra full turkey choke. So he's like, his response is, my gun came with a full choke. Cool, man. Get an extra full choke. So he thought that it was like that, you know, who's on first?
Oh, extra.
He thought I was saying to buy like an additional full choke. And I'm like, no. You need like, you know, you start talking about constrictions and everything. Mm-hmm. So the one thing, if you're listening to this and you've never turkey hunted, do not hunt with a modified, do not hunt with a full, do not hunt with an improved cylinder. Get an extra full turkey choke. Get a turkey choke
and
for your gun.
And you'll find them like EXT apostrophe or like
EXT or like a lot of like the jelly header. It just says turkey choke, like, and look at your constrictions. Get a turkey choke for your gun. Do not turkey hunt.
And we have plenty
with an extra with a full choke because it's not gonna you're not gonna like it's not gonna pattern right. And it's quite honestly like you're probably gonna injure a bird.
Yeah.
You know, if you're shooting at 25, 30, 40 yards.
And we have plenty of those, I believe, at the store, if I'm not mistaken. Carlson's come to mind.
Yeah, you guys have a good selection. You got Carlson. I think you might have some pattern matches. You guys got plenty of turkey chokes. The Carlson choke that I shoot, I bought it at the Hebron store. So.
Oh yeah. And if you don't have nowhere to be, go buy your turkey choke at Heber and then stop and talk to Curtis at the archery counter for about 6 hours about turkeys.
Oh yeah,
because he loves it just as much as the next guy.
Good man.
Well, sweet man.
Curtis, my guy.
When you go out into the woods, are you taking this whole setup?
Yes, I roll it up and I stick it in. I stick it in my bag and in the back. Throw that on the gram. But this is like all of these strikers, they sound like a different turkey. So this is a striker that I bought. The guy that makes these, I can't remember his name, but he's like a really like famous custom turkey. He makes 30 of these a year and he uses a different wood every year. So I bought this probably like 4 or 5 years ago. But they all sound, they all make different, like a different pitch. And so this is like a softer mushroom tip. And, so do I use all of them in any given hunt? No, I've got my favorites, but if I got a lot of competition with hunters and or other turkeys, it's
good to have options.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have options, man. So yeah, but I definitely take all of these in.
Do you ever mix it up like you're more than one bird too?
No, just because, I can't use a mouth call.
Yeah.
So I stopped trying, to use a mouth call. Yeah. Because like the effort that I was putting into, to doing it, I was just like, I can't fix like a really high palate, like I can't fix biology.
Yeah, exactly.
So I started putting my effort into being proficient with tube calls, trumpet calls, with pot calls. And I do use a box call. I'll use those, some, sure. But
a lot of location.
Yeah, man, dude.
Are we an owl guy or are we a crow guy?
So I will use an owl call, all hours of the day.
That Woodhaven Ninja Owl is pretty
Ninja
sick.
Owl's nasty. Yeah. I use that. Yeah. Oh. So I'll use the Ninja Owl. Like if I've got a turkey that like was gobbling and has faded away, like I haven't heard him gobble in a while.
Yeah.
Dude, I'll rip off an owl hoot at like 11 o'clock in the morning because they'll gobble at it. You can owl hoot at a turkey literally 24 hours a day and it will gobble. You know, there's a good chance that they'll gobble at it. So if I'm trying to make a move, that's the first thing I do, man, is ripping the owl. Because I can't tell you how many times it's just like, dude, we got to move. That turkey's moved down. You stand up.
Yep.
And they're 40 yards from you. And they just came in silent. You had no idea. And you just stand there and you're like, oh, my God. Like, I should have owl hooted. Like, I knew what I was doing. So that's that. I will crow call, too.
Yeah. The idea behind the crow call is that they usually like to pester. I mean, the crows are assholes of the woods. So they usually like to pester a turkey. So Curtis was telling me, if you see a flock of them kind of hovering in a certain area, there's a good possibility that they're like messing too.
So here's where like I was at a state forest last year here in Ohio, and I heard a turkey gobble on the limb, and he's I'm in the game. Like as soon as he gobbles, like I just picked. It was literally my first time hunting this property, state property. I'd picked the right area. I heard him, like he just gobbled at nothing, just gobbling to gobble. So I'm like, all right, cool. And then behind me, there was like, what is it? A murder of crows?
Murder of crows.
Dude, these things start hammering.
Yeah.
They're in the tree and they're 150 yards from this turkey. It's loud. That turkey never gobbled at those crows one time. And I guess, I've said this before. I feel like a wild turkey can exercise free will more so than any other animal in the woods. You know, deer, man, they're like in and out. You know, yep. I mean, they're very rigid with their movements. A turkey is just like, man, I'm not going to gobble with those 400 crows.
Yeah,
you know. But then you get one crow call, and they're going to be just like, wow, I gotta gobble at it. You know,
where were we when we had that? We were trying to film a video. Oh, it was over across the street.
Yeah,
remember for the tether. And we for the tether thing. We tried to do a tether promotion video. I think I was trying to explain the Phantom saddle.
We got the new Phantoms,
and we were just trying. Dude, they would not. I'm like, I'm about to freaking
the crows.
I'm about to freaking
dude. They never shut up, man. Dude. They will do it for like an hour.
Oh yeah, and they would not shut up. I'm like, dude, I'm about to go get my freaking carry gun and pop one off in here just to get them to fly away.
Was that a desk pop? Is that what?
Desk pop.
What was your last desk pop, Ben?
Shout out Justin Jones
2 months
on the desk pop.
2 months ago.
I love that movie. Well, sweet, man. I'm excited, dude. I'm excited.
Good, man. I hope it's a good turkey season. I hope we get to do some turkey hunting together. We'll make that happen. So
where can people find, so you briefly kind of touched on it. You got a new podcast we kind of touched on. Where can people find not only just you on social, the O2 guy, your O2 channel, as well as your new How to Hunt Turkeys podcast?
Yeah, so the O2, you can find that on Instagram, the.o2.podcast. You can find us on Go Wild, O2 podcast. You can find me on Instagram, Paul Campbell 322. And also Go Wild, just search Paul Campbell. It'll be easy to find. The new podcast, the How to Hunt Turkeys podcast, that's available on all podcast platforms. Yep. You just search that. On Instagram, it's H2HT Podcast. I also have a website, turkeyseason.com.
Turkeyseason.com. Yeah, it's
another website you can find me on.
How do you know? I'm surprised that wasn't taken already, but
I am too. It's a good one. It's been a lot of fun.
When you typed that in into GoDaddy, and you were like,
yeah. It was just like, oh my God, this is available. And I was like, I'm going to buy that. And then, so I was like, deer season. Deerseason.com is available right now. If anyone has $6,000 to spend on a domain that might not work out for you. And then duck season, I was like, you know what, hell, I'm just going to start like this, you know, this little empire, right? Duck season is owned by Warner Brothers. Rabbit season is owned by Warner Brothers. Because remember Daffy Duck?
Rabbit season, duck season.
So if you type in either of those, it'll take you to Warner Brothers website.
Wow.
So they never coming off of those. But yeah, no, turkeyseason.com. It's just a really, really cool site. There's a ton of good content, a ton of how-to stuff on there.
Yeah.
A lot of people sending me content, you know, to highlight and kind of direct back to them. So yeah, man, turkeyseason.com.
Awesome, man. And they're great customers, both Paul and Andrew. So we're glad to have them on anytime. And it's funny how just, you know, we started this podcast and we were like, oh man, there's another Ohio one.
Yeah.
And I think the first time I really saw you guys is we were trying to get Dustin Huff on.
Yeah.
And you had the brewery thing.
Yep.
I think I ended up being sick or had a kid sick and didn't make it down. But it's like, oh, okay.
We did a live event with Dustin Huff. He came in, brought Moose with him, played some songs. It was really neat, man.
Yeah.
We had there's maybe like 50 people there or something like that. Sure. It was really cool, but we're not competitors.
No.
You know, we're friends, and we reached out to you guys. You know, it's Tethered was a sponsor of our show, and we're like, hey, man, you guys got an event. Let's get on and talk about it. And it's been cool to, you know, just to see you guys grow and grow and you know,
rising waters, man. And
that's it.
And we wouldn't have had the conversation that we had last week without these guys. You know, I wouldn't have several conversations without these guys. Andrew, I said, hey, I'm wanting to talk about ticks. Here you go.
Oh yeah, we got the guy for that.
Here's your guy. Yeah, exactly. So, we do appreciate, and I enjoy the friendship, and you know, we'll continue to get this thing rolling, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Let's all kill some turkeys this year, right?
There we go.
Good deal.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We appreciate you. All right, everyone, that is all we have for you today. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Paul. He's such an animated guy, and we're always happy to have him on. As I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, turkey season is finally upon us, and we hope you can get out and make some great memories this year. As a reminder, we are on a bi-weekly schedule, so our next episode will be released on Tuesday, May 9th. As always, we appreciate you listening, and until next time, enjoy the pursuit.